You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome in to a draft edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. He's Jake Lisco. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for making us your first listen on this 2022 NFL draft weekend where the Bengals, well, it's a Dax attack. Daxton Hill is the newest member of your Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to dive into that. We're going to get into how the board fell in round one, all of those things, and we'll dive into what could happen on day two of the NFL draft. But first, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts if it's your first time listening. We're the only daily Bengals podcast, so you should hit that follow button. But Jake, it's insane. It's wild, and it's about 1 a.m. Eastern time right now. You're battling a sickness. I'm at Paul Brown Stadium, as you can see on YouTube, if you can't. And about an hour and a half ago, the Bengals added Daxton Hill, and we've talked a lot about him, and we'll talk more about him. But how surprised were you when they actually pulled the trigger and took Daxton Hill with Andrew Booth Jr., a guy a lot of people predicted would go to the Bengals, still on the board?
I'm not super surprised they didn't pick Booth, and I feel like you may not be surprised either. I thought that Kyler Gordon might be the guy higher on their board. And I also thought that Ebikadi and maybe another defensive lineman, Logan Hall, might have been ahead of Daxton Hill on their board. And I was a little bit wrong. I was off by like two spots. The rest of my predictive board will never know because those guys are gone. Those guys were gone. I think the Bengals experienced a little bit of heartbreak, though, James, and they'll never let on. But George Karlaftis making it to pick 30. And then the Chiefs, as we were sitting there talking, I was with John Sharon and Joe Goodberry and Mike at Bengals underscore Sands. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, they need an edge rusher. They got a corner. The only hope was that they take George Pickens. That was the only thought in my head, is like, maybe they pick a wide receiver. Jahan Dotson went way earlier.
Yep.
And so that was a little sad, but I think that the way it went, I'm not shocked at the Hill pick. I'm a little surprised, though, because the way that Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo talked about him, they're like, yeah, we're going to get him in the building and we're going to see what he can do. When asked about his versatility, when asked about him playing outside corner specifically, because he's athletic enough to do it.
He moves great.
And we'll talk about that coming up. But just a little surprised. I was thinking of you, though, when I saw that it was Daxton Hill. I know you were really excited, right?
For sure. No doubt about it. I think he was clearly the top player remaining. And I think they would have taken George Karlaftis. I think they would have taken Devontae Wyatt, partially because I think there are bigger needs, right? The Bengals safeties are good. And even though they're in the final year of their deals, I think that this was as much a best player available type thing as anything. And they think that he can make a difference in a variety of ways. And that's why I like this pick, is because they didn't shy away from that to just take, oh, we're going to take a corner to take a corner. I think they did that with Trey Kirkpatrick. And I know that was a completely different era, completely different coaching staff, but they needed a corner. It's like, oh, best one remaining. Let's just take him. I don't want that mindset. And does Daxton Hill complicate things a little bit? Yeah. But at the same time, I think he can contribute right away. I think he can make a difference. And, you know, the craziest part to me is the first round, you have two edge rushers. You have, you know, three corners. Was it three? No, it was three edge rushers, two corners, right? In the first five picks. Got that right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, man, here's the run. And then they don't get picked. Trent McDuffie falls. The Chiefs trade up to 21 to get Trent McDuffie. And it's like, okay, is the run coming? And then Kyrie Elam goes. And then it started to be like every single pick was hitting the Bengals where it hurt with Wyatt and Karlaftis. But if you would have told me going into today that Daxton Hill would be a Bengal, and I get it, some of you are listening to this, like, what the hell? They didn't need a safety. They needed a corner. I would have taken it and ran, because I think they just got a really, really damn good football player. And that's hard to do at 31. a lot of teams get it wrong and pick Cole Strange. What the hell were the Patriots thinking? I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Daxton Hill would have looked really good in New England, but I think he's going to look even better in orange and black.
Yeah, we'll see on Cole Strange, right? We felt this way about Travis Frederick when the Cowboys drafted him, and Travis Frederick went on to be an
All-Pro. And I like Strange. It just felt like a reach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, against consensus, against expectation, it feels like the Patriots were probably desperately trying to get out of that pick, didn't find value they liked, and just said, oh, we'll just take the guy that we like.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick doesn't care what anybody
thinks. They should have tried to move back to maybe like 55 or something, but.
Yeah. What a wild first round, though. Around the AFC North, a new quarterback in Pittsburgh. The Ravens add Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Linderbaum, getting two guys that are just incredible values of where they were picked.
Yep.
And we'll see how they play out in that scheme and that fit with the athletic limitations that some perceive and have been hotly debated, I think, for Kyle Hamilton, and the scheme fit for Tyler Linderbaum, I think, is really interesting to discuss. And, you know, a lot of trades, a lot of wide receivers traded, a lot of wide receivers drafted. Crazy first round overall. But by the time it got to the Bengals pick, we're sitting here thinking, like, only a couple guys you weren't expecting to be picked have been picked. And that's Cole Strange and maybe Kenny Pickett, right? But you figure a quarterback would go somewhere before the Bengals pick.
Yep.
It was just Pickett instead of Willis, which I think a lot of people expected. But N'Kobe Dean falls out of the first round. Mm-hmm. And so who are you picking from with
that? I'm not shocked. Yeah, I'm not shocked about that, really. Yeah. But who are you picking from? Like, who are you picking against? You're asking? Like, who was
Yeah, so it's like Daxton Hill, Kyler Gordon, Andrew Booth. And we've talked about, I think, why we didn't think the Bengals were necessarily in on Booth without testing. And
the health. I think the health was a big thing.
And the medical flags. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they had him in to talk to him about it. And I wonder how close it was for them. Or if Daxton Hill was a clear BPA. Mel Kiper said, what do you say? 15 picks, 10 to 15 picks too late. He really liked Daxton Hill.
Yeah. And that's how I have it. I mean, that's like on my YouTube channel this week, it was I did like a dark horses, like guys that I don't expect to be there, but could be there that the Bengals could be interested in. And Karlaftis and Hill were neck and neck. And I thought the Bengals liked Karlaftis more, but Daxton Hill falling there, it's great value. Like I said, if you can get, you draft players, not positions. And I think this guy with his versatility, and we can dive into that next, Daxton Hill, the player, what does he bring to the Bengals defense? How is he going to help them? Is he going to help them in year one? Or is this a Darren Simmons special teamer in year one as a rookie? We'll dive into all of that next. But first, I got to tell you about BlueNile.com, because you can celebrate all of life's special moments with BlueNile.com. From getting the engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece to, I don't know, maybe getting a little chain that says Dax on it, Dax Attack. I like that. I don't know. Maybe we'll find a different name. But anyway, Daxton Hill is a Bengal, and Mother's Day is coming up, and you could celebrate both at BlueNile.com. This Mother's Day, you can give mom something special that she's going to cherish forever. Fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. So check them out right now. All of our Locked On Bengals listeners are going to get $50 off any order of $500. All you have to do is go to BlueNile.com, use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $50 off your order of $500 or more. So don't delay. Go there now. BlueNile.com. Use promo code Locked On to get $50 off your order of $500 or more. Again, BlueNile.com, promo code Locked On.
James, we had Daxton Hill at 9th on our board. And we're missing some positions.
Oh.
But.
Oh. 9th.
Oh. On the analytic weighted board.
You know who wears number 9?
Oh no, could you tell me?
Joe Burrow. It was destiny from the get-go. I didn't know he was 9th. Oh man, hot mama, that's great value. Go ahead.
Here are the things that I love about this pick. And I'm starting with the positives here. 21 and a half years old. Incredible production profile, incredible athletic testing. His hips, incredibly fluid. I personally think he has the athletic profile to play outside corner, and I think he can do it.
Agreed.
From an athleticism perspective at a high level. Now, he didn't do it very often at Michigan, but after the Bengals picked him, there's a fun clip out there. If you just search Daxton Hill on Twitter and go to videos, there's a clip where he's lined up at slot corner, fights over a pick on a wheel. And it's a switch on a wheel and runs stride for stride with this guy up the sideline, finds the ball in the air, pass breakup, end of game. Mm-hmm. And then he taunts the guy. You can't do that in the NFL. But the rest of it is absolutely fantastic and shows that athleticism. There's another play where the change of direction skills are on display. The hips look incredible. He's one step back, makes an interception. So the athletic tools are huge. And I think that when you listen to Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo talk about it, addresses a hole on the Bengals team. The Bengals secondary, the Bengals defense overall isn't the fastest. No. Adding Daxton Hill gives them what, a 4.38 athlete with, mm-hmm. like I said, incredible production at Michigan, who will be willing to play everywhere. And so these are the things that I love about the pick. Versatile piece, young, athletic, productive, checks all the boxes as a good player. And like you mm-hmm. said, James, that's what we're looking for at pick 31.
Yep, I agree. The age checks that box, the athleticism. I mean, he's a freak. You looked it up the other day. You compare him to corners, and it gets even freakier when you talk about his relative athletic score. And so that's the part that's exciting to me, is you have this guy that has Jesse Bates range. Like, maybe not exactly, but he's rangy, right? He can get across field, make plays. He's got great ball skills. But guess what? He'll line up in the box. He'll make tackles. He'll blitz. He'll do all these things. He'll play nickel. I think he's really good in coverage. I think he's better than Jesse Bates in coverage. I do.
In man, you know, coverage, 100% agree.
If you're lining him up on someone, it's like, all right, Daxton Hill, he's going to be able to do that. And you think about just how Lou Anarumo used Trey Flowers right on tight ends, and people were like, oh man, look at that. Like, it's Trey Flowers. Imagine what he's going to do with this guy in Daxton Hill that can do all of these things. And that's going to be the really fun part, is you just gave Lou Anarumo, for the first time since he's gotten to town, a first round pick, a guy that a lot of people thought was going to go in the top 20. And he falls to you in round one, and he's this young athletic freak, right, who can do a bunch of different things, is comfortable doing a bunch of different things on the field and doing them at a high level. It's not like he's, decent at a bunch of stuff. What's the phrase? Something, master of none.
Master of none.
Yeah. No, this dude's a master, man. Like, this, Dax is good at a lot of damn shit and stuff. Sorry. And really, and that's the thing I want to hammer home, because I think a lot of people are surprised and like, oh, I thought they were going to take a corner. Well, they didn't necessarily take a straight up corner, but they took a guy that's going to make their secondary better and their defense better. And it's going to make life easier on the corners that do have to play, and that the pass rushers that do have to play. And so I really like the pick a ton. Now on the flip side, is it a little clunky because he might not play 800 snaps as a rookie? Because on defense, because of the other parts of it that come with it. Yeah. And so that's the part that you have to work through as well. And that would be the thing that I think a lot of people would be concerned about today. But it was Jay Morrison of The Athletic brought it up. He asked about the special teams part of it to Zach Taylor. And Zach was like, oh, I mean, we'll check with Darren Simmons, the special teams coordinator, but we drafted him in the first round for a reason. And that's to help us on defense. And so yeah. I think they think he's going to be able to help right away. And you better believe me, I know you know this, but they have a plan for him. It is not just he's going to be Mike Hilton's backup and Jesse Bates' backup. Hell no. I think he's going to get on the field.
But he will back up Mike Hilton, and he'll back up Jesse Bates, and he'll back up Von Bell. And sure, he might be the third outside corner. The guy who's probably the most upset about this isn't Jesse Bates, who's trying to get an extension. I think it's Trey Flowers, like you mentioned, because in looking at a one-to-one comparison from a deployment perspective, the guy that you would you rather have Trey Flowers on a tight end in man coverage or Daxton Hill? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daxton probably Hill, Daxton obviously. Hill. I didn't know you really wanted me to answer that, because I thought it was obvious, but I'll answer it. Daxton.
There are some size concerns there. And so the learning curve, and I guess like the drawbacks, right? One, they didn't get Kyer Elam to fall to them. They didn't get George Karloftis to fall to them really close. They didn't get Tyler Linderbaum to fall to them. But of the guys that were available to them to pick from, it's hard to be too upset about who they passed, right? But how does he get on the field in year one is a question that they'll have to answer. Like you said, I think they do have a plan. Now let's see what the plan is, and let's see how it impacts their ability to win games in 2022. Let's see how the big play ability shows up or not in his rookie year. I think he needs to add some weight. I think that he needs to add some play strength, but he has the foundation to do it all. And like we've discussed, he's so young that why wouldn't he be a versatile piece that can help you in year one? He lets them play dime a little bit more with the big nickel stuff they like to do. He can spell. He can back up a lot of positions, I mean to say, and very well-received pick because they didn't reach for a position of need, which is generally something that draft evaluators really like.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the part I was worried about it, honestly. And, you know, I talked about it on Thursday, like the predictable side of the Bengals, like the corner. Are they just going to settle for the best corner that's there? And they didn't. And they looked and they were like, look, this guy is clearly, and I think it was, I think there was a clear gap. And because if it had been close, maybe a straight up corner does break the tie, like positional value. It's not as clunky with Bates and Von Bell on paper and all of those things. At the same time, they said, look, this guy is the best available. Let's take him. And you're right, though. I mean, you're going to have to see the playmaking. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I think, you know, you look at him even compared to some of the other guys. I had draft write-ups just to give you an idea. And I know tackles are just a metric, you know, one very small thing, especially when you're talking about corners and stuff. But he had like double the tackles that we're talking about with some of these other guys, you know, the Kyler Gordons or Andrew Booths. And they play different amount of games. I think Michigan played more, all of those things. But I think he's going to just be around the ball a ton, because he's so versatile, because you can put him in different spots, because you can use him. And the other thing that Lou mentioned, and you talked about this, his speed. Well, they do play Deshaun Watson and they do play Lamar Jackson. That's four of their games every year. And so having a guy that has that speed that could catch them in the open field, potentially that could blitz them, and you're confident that he's not going to get shook and, you know, and just made, you know, shaken out of his boots, out of his cleats, that you don't want that to happen. And so, you know, I think he can help in that department as well. So you're not as scared, not that they were scared, you know, Hollywood Brown isn't in the division anymore, but of those guys like that, those speedy, that crazy speedsters, because you didn't really have that. Cheeto's not that. Eli Apple isn't that. Jesse Bates isn't that. And you know, Von Bell isn't either. And so now, well, guess what? Maybe you can put Von Bell in the box more and let Dax Hill cover and do that part of it. And Bell delivers big hits while Hill is the one doing the, you know, the heavy lifting and coverage at that spot.
Gives them a lot of variability with three safeties on the field. And you think about how they defended teams like the Kansas City Chiefs. It tells you who they're worried about in the AFC, right? It tells you they're worried about these teams that are going to spread you out and go 11 personnel, which the entire league is doing. And Lou Anarumo likes to answer that, as we saw last year with three safeties on the field. And when you get a guy like Daxton Hill, who's really athletic, who can do a lot of things for you, line up in a lot of different spots, that gives you more flexibility to feel really comfortable living in that world. Now, as we look ahead to day two and three, James, one thing they, I think, still need to address is finding some pass rush somewhere. And that's a piece. If you're going to go light, right, you have to get after the passer with four. Maybe they get more exotic with blitzes, and Daxton Hill is a good blitzer. He is. But as we look ahead to day two and three, I think that this is a scenario, James, where you end up with the three straight defensive picks. This is one of the ways that starts. And we'll see if that happens on Friday. And we'll dive into Friday of the 2022 NFL draft coming up next.
BetOnline is your number one source for all of the betting stats, sports info you're looking for. Look, the NBA playoffs are in full swing. The NFL draft, maybe you took the under on quarterbacks. There's a ton of props that you can get to and get at right now at BetOnline. It is your continued source for all things Major League Baseball. If you want to wager on baseball, all things NBA, if you want to wager on my Golden State Warriors, all things NFL draft, and so much more. So go to BetOnline today. Check out everything they have. Sign up. It's free to sign up. I've used them. You can wager on all different things. you should use them. BetOnline. Easy to use. Sign up on your laptop, mobile device, and, well, enjoy betting on your favorite sports, your favorite games, or the NFL draft, which is obviously one of your favorites probably if you're listening right here on Locked On Bengals. BetOnline. Check them out today where the game starts.
Two rounds coming up on Friday, James. Two more picks. Two picks that will add a lot of context to the Daxton Hill pick. And I guess actually one thing to do before we dive in to day two.
Yeah.
Do you have an instant grade for Daxton Hill? First round pick?
A. It's an A. He was a top 20 player in this draft class. Could honestly end up being better than either safety they do have. In gives them a chance to really bolster a defense that was good at times and in situations. But to me, you have this versatile chess piece. I think it could make the safety room one of the best, if not the best, you know, without looking at all the safety rooms across the league. I think Baltimore would have something to say about that, right? But, you know, I think they have one of the best safety rooms. And so if you can get a top 20 player at 31 and a guy that they clearly have a plan for, you know, it's hard for me not to give them an A. So I'll give them an A.
It'll be fun to track the parallel careers of Kyle Hamilton and Daxton Hill as division rivals, as the top two safeties picked in this draft. And I put safeties in quote because Daxton Hill is not a traditional safety the way.
Do you have a grade?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting there. Oh,
okay, good. Just making sure.
The way Kyle Hamilton is. Yeah, I'm giving it a B. And I don't think that there was actually a player that would have made it an A. So maybe that's not fair of me. And I get that. If you're mad at that, there actually isn't another player that would grade higher. There are other guys that would have graded the same. I probably would have also given Kyler Gordon a B. I probably also would have given Logan Hall a B. I probably also would have given Arnold Adekade a B. And the reason is, like, I like the pick, and there's a lot to like about it. Like I said, they got a good player. But the reason that you knock it is, or that I knock it, and I'm sure people hate this, is just that it doesn't make them massively better. In 2022, it makes them better, and I think It makes them versatile, and I like the pick. But if it's Carl Loftus, it's an A. If it's a guy that's like immense value plus the better need fit, if it's Kyer Elam, to me it's even an A, right? And so,
well, sure,
because
you would expect Elam to start. I don't think Kyler Gordon would start. I don't think Andrew Booth Jr. would start. I think Eli Apple would say, sit your ass down on the bench, son. Honestly,
Booth would not get a B. Booth would have not been a B for me. Kyler Gordon would have been a B. But yeah, I guess that's kind of not the point.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, and that's part of it for, I get it. You know, if it would have been, if it is Kyer Elam, a lot of people would have understood it and given it that. But to me, it fills the need of, they need fucking freaking, I'm cussing a lot today. It's late. They need a guy that can do maybe not what he does, but this young playmaking type player that's going to impact and make a big plays in critical moments. And, you know, maybe stop Matt Stafford from going downfield and doing no look passes and all that stuff. And I think he can do that.
Again, I like the pick. B, solidly above average. It's a good pick. It's just like, if you're thinking good versus elite, elite pick to me is they get a guy that they couldn't get. And maybe that's not fair of me. If you don't think that's fair of me, that is your right. That is totally your right. And we'll see what happens, because maybe Kyler Gordon falls to 63, right? Maybe Andrew Booth.
Maybe he falls to 63. Roger McCreary falls to 63. Maybe one of those guys falls.
Maybe Trey McBride, right? The Trey McBride breaks up the three straight defensive players. I think defensive line is the next target. After getting a safety, we talked about this scenario this week where they didn't address a need, a current need, because I think Daxton Hill plays in year one, and I think that he can replace a safety down the road, and maybe he replaces Mike Hilton down the road. Maybe he even plays outside corner if he can learn it, because I think that would be a big transition for him. But this is where you might see three straight defensive picks, and I could end up being totally wrong about this, but you could see a defensive lineman, then a corner, or a corner, then a defensive lineman, in some order on day two.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a pretty high probability of that happening. Clearly, they're prioritizing defense. And I'll tell you this. So obviously the coordinator talks, and our, you know, our guy, Brian Callahan, shout out to him. He's been on the podcast multiple times. I got to see both coordinators before the draft started. Lou Anarumo is wearing a suit jacket. Brian Callahan ain't wearing a suit jacket. And I know that's a little tell, but damn it, that's a tell. If you think you're doing a news conference, you might have a suit jacket somewhere. And maybe Brian did in his office somewhere, right? But he certainly didn't wear it to the dinner beforehand. So that was the first tell. But yeah, you look at it, and we've talked about it, especially interior defensive line. Edge, you could find something maybe in round 4, round 5 that could make an impact at some point. You know, a guy you like, a developmental type guy. The interior, Wyatt's gone, Davis is gone. Once you get, you know, once Jones is gone, and he's not the edge rusher or the interior rusher you want anyway, but once Jones...
Some people think he is, but I don't really.
Winfrey, you know, it's Jones, Winfrey, Leal, and then Hall. It's like...
Logan Hall is a big one.
Oh, sorry. The list I'm looking at has Hall as a DN, but yeah.
Okay.
That would be another one too. I think... A couple of those guys are going to be there, right? I mean, because you're going to have a quarterback run on day 2. These quarterbacks just can't stay forever. All right. A couple of them have to go at some point.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to see, you know, the Sky Moores of the world go off the board. And so, I think they're going to have a shot at a defensive lineman. Here's the problem, though, Jake, is, and we've done this corner thing, it gets lean at corner too. And if they might be forced to choose one or the other, and that's going to be the interesting part of it, especially, let's say a lot of corners are off the board, but, you know, Cam Taylor-Britt is there and DeMarvin Leal is there. And what if Trey McBride is there? And that's their number one tight end. You know, that could get really, really interesting. And it's going to be the tough decisions that they have to make. And that's part of why you stand pat, you take 31, you take that best player, because – you know, you might not be able to address the secondary again for another round or two.
There's a lot of smoke around Trey McBride and the Bengals.
There is. Yes, there is.
The day, the 24 hours leading up to the draft.
Yep.
Peter Schrager, Peter King, the Peters. Yep. And Benjamin Albright.
Albright.
Yep. Albright said, though, not in the first round, which he said after I said, I don't buy it. And I buy it in the second round.
Sure. I think
if he's there at 63... That's where the Bengals will have a hard time going defense. I think that's the guy that would tempt them to pick an offensive player. But you're right. It's interesting to look ahead. When you look ahead to pick 95, where are they going? Damari Mathis, 96 on Dane Brugler's board. He's one of the best players available. And then Alex Wright, an edge rusher, Myjai Sanders, Kobe Bryant in the mix here somewhere around here, right? Maybe it's a tight end at that point, but the defensive player I think would tempt them the most is if a Logan Hall, Perrion Winfrey, or Travis Jones falls to 63. And I doubt any of them do.
No, I don't think they do either. I think Winfrey's probably early out, but yeah, one of the two. But yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I think they would have taken Devontae Wyatt if he was there at 31. He wasn't. Get it. But yeah, honestly, Jake, that might be the position they have to kind of shy away from.
Is it going to be that or is it going to be edge? It depends on who's available to them. Like, they're not going to reach, I hope, for a defensive tackle at 63. Like, they can't do that. If they're at 63 and those three guys are gone, go a different direction. Find a tight end, find an edge rusher, find a corner.
The good news is the corner they wanted was gone and they didn't reach, right?
That's true.
I mean, you know, and so hopefully, because that was my concern tonight.
Yeah.
You know, going into I was like, just don't do that. Like, I don't want to come on here and be negative because it's exciting, you know, but like, man, if they had just, you know, if they take Andrew Booth, it's like, man, there's just so many question marks. And I know everyone loves the one-handed interception and there's people that love his tape, but there's missing pieces and that's scary. And so, yeah, I agree with you. Hopefully that's their mindset and they don't reach. And I would say this, the good news is if those guys fall or if those guys don't fall and they're off the board, maybe Roger McCreary is there at 63. And I know there are a little length concerns, but dude, if you can get Roger McCreary at 63 with those ball skills and you already added a guy like Daxton Hill that has great ball skills and is an athlete and playmaker. That'd be pretty fun, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Cam Taylor-Britt, Roger McCreary, Kyler Gordon, I think, hoping one of those guys falls to 63. Or maybe, like we talked about earlier, the medicals push Andrew Booth down. But
and I'm down there. It's different. It's yeah, different 63, in round two versus round
100%, 100%.
One.
100%. Yep. That's a good pick at 63 because he has first, second round tape, like pick, you know, 28 to 45 tape. And that's probably where he ends up getting drafted. Mm-hmm. But he did have the profile concerns, and that's probably with the medicals pushing him down. I think that the Bengals will be most tempted by a three tech if one of those guys is available. I don't know how they would feel about DeMarvin Leal. That one is a wild card to me. But the other three guys we've talked about, Perry Winfrey, Travis Jones, Logan Hall, if any of those guys fall, I think they would tempt the Bengals a lot. Any of these corners we just talked about, Kyler Gordon, Roger McCreary, Cam Taylor-Britt, I think they'll be tempted. And I think Trey McBride is the wild card.
Seven guys. That's seven guys. They're 30, 31 picks away.
Am I missing somebody that you think?
30 picks. I'm sure there's a couple, right? You know, if there's, I mean, Nakobe Dean is going to fall all the way there. Yeah, right. And so that's it. Are they in the Alec Pierce camp? I don't think so. You know, do they have a really high?
I don't think they're going to go wide receiver after the first round. Yeah.
I agree. But do they have a top 30 grade on Sky Moore and he's there at 63? I don't think he'll be there either.
No.
Is this smoke about Trey McBride when they really have Greg Dulcich higher?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that could be it. You know, maybe they had just have Dulcich higher and they're like, hey, let's take him, you know? So
I think the other ones are some edge rushers. And I mentioned Drake Jackson. I've been talked out of Nick Benito for the Bengals. They like heavier edge rushers. And Kingsley Enagbare.
Yep.
I think they will be very interested in.
I kept thinking, I was like, Kings, I was trying to think of his name because it escaped me for a second. I was like, Kingsley Enagbare. Yeah.
Boy Mafe, too, if he falls, but I don't think he will.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So we gave you about 10 names there to consider.
They'll all be picked.
Round three. Let's just say they don't take a corner round two. Kobe Bryant in round three, yep. I think, is certainly in range, but it gets real lean. I mean, it's lean. It's going to be a lean Christmas this year, and that's a Joey Tribbiani reference from Friends, if you didn't catch it. So that's one guy. Any other corner stand out to you in round three that they could potentially take? Maybe Sam McCollum?
Zion McCollum is a guy that the Bengals could roll the dice on there. And Damari Mathis, we've talked about him a lot out of Pitt, would be the three corners there. If they decide to go corner earlier, and we talked about some edge rushers for the third round as well, Myjai Sanders is one of them. If he makes it all the way down there, and we're talking about some Bearcats for the Cincinnati folks. But there's a couple guys. We'll see how they feel about Alex Wright from UAB. But I think also, this is where if they get the corner specifically in the second round, this is where they might look offensive line. This is like the Sean Ryan, maybe Jamari Sawyer, although he's probably gone by this point. Maybe Josh Azudu from North Carolina. I probably butchered his name. Sorry if I did. One of those guys could come up. So
if you could get Sawyer in round three, sign me up for that. Right. And then the other one would be the other center. Cam Jurgens. Yeah. I will say
Josh Pascal.
Josh Pascal's definitely in range. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Brian Jurgens.
Cook. Probably not now.
Not Brian Cook. Yeah, not now. I literally thought about him when you mentioned Myjai Sanders. I'm like, yeah, well, Brian Cook's out. But with Cam Jurgens, it seems like NFL teams, and the reason I say this is because Dave Lapham's mentioned it like four times, and you like to listen to Sue on record. I'm not saying anything he told me. He said it on his YouTube or whatever the hell he was talking on. I can't remember his pod or dance pod or something. But he was like, Cam Jurgens is powerful. And I wonder if these, like compared to Linderbaum, and I wonder if these teams look at him and they're like, oh, he's stronger than Linderbaum. And so, yeah, he's smaller and he might not be as athletic, but he's better, you know, he offers better value. So maybe they'd be interested in him on, you know, round three if he's there too. Cole Strange, man, he would have been a damn third rounder. Yeah. You know, we would have talked about him and mentioned him, and Bill Belichick had other plans.
Did you see the Rams draft room, the Rams press conference reaction to Cole Strange? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we were looking at him for pick 107 or whenever their first pick is, but I guess we didn't have to do that, was the gist of it.
No way.
It was very funny. It was very funny.
Yeah. Oh my God. The ultimate shade.
It's funny stuff. But who are they to question Bill Belichick? I guess they just won a Super Bowl.
Honestly, I don't know, man. I think a lot of people can start questioning Bill Belichick. It's been a while. Tom Brady's not
draft, his draft track record isn't the best. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow.
Would you rather have Daxton Hill or Cole Strange?
What?
I'm asking.
Is that a real question?
That's Bill Belichick said Cole Strange. Think about how dumb that is. I don't care how many Super Bowl rings you have.
I think that Bill should have liked Daxton Hill too. Think about
it. Would have made a ton of sense.
McCourty twins he had for so long.
My God. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Anyway,
thanks.
We'll
Bill.
Be back tomorrow after. Well, we'll see. Maybe after the second round, if we have time. If not, after day two, we'll do our best to get you as much content as we can as our schedule permits. Until next time, Bengals fans, enjoy Daxton Hill, the newest Bengal.
Yeah, baby.
And have a good one.